Hi there, and welcome to the Living with SMA podcast. We're here to have conversations about living with spinal muscular atrophy. Throughout this podcast, we will be covering lots of different topics, from preparing for university, getting the most from your personal budget, sex and relationships, and lots more. So we invite different hosts from across the SMA community to come together here. We want to answer your questions, provide you with useful tips and recommendations, and also share personal stories. So please do reach out and connect with us here at the charity SMA UK. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find the podcast useful.
Hey everyone, welcome to the short topic conversations around mental health. You've got myself, Josh Winterskill, on here. We've also got the wonderful Becca, and we've also got the wonderful Emma. So we're going to talk about three things today. First is sort of looking at mental health before COVID, and then discuss a little bit about how our mental health between the three of us has progressed through the pandemic, and also looking at mental health in terms of now, given where we are with the vaccine and kind of what the future may hold and what we're doing to deal with our mental health in terms of getting ready for that. And then we'll finish off with a couple of top tips as well in terms of what we've been doing between the six of us to between the three of us, sorry, to keep us on the straight and narrow. So let's start with mental health before COVID. Becca, Emma, I'll let one of you decide to go first.
I nominate Becca.
Hey, right. Go on.
Okay, well, my mental health has been long. So I'll just give a brief snapshot, basically. When we went into the pandemic, I was finishing my degree. So I was still living at university. And on the whole, like at that point, so around February, I was doing pretty good. Like university was very stressful, but I was doing pretty good. I was feeling really hopeful for kind of the future and everything. So yeah, I felt like, I mean, I remember when like the whole virus kind of started in China, I didn't think it would be anything at all. Like I thought it would completely bowl over. We'd booked me and my mum to go to New York in June, I think. And she was like, oh, maybe we should wait to book it. I was like, no, it's going to blow over, like Ebola and all of that. It kind of came and went, and obviously I was very wrong, but to start with, I didn't think it was much to worry about. What about you, Emma?
Well, my initial instinct is to blame you because you obviously jinxed it.
Yeah. But
other than that, my mental health was also pretty good before COVID happened. I previously, because my university experience was not so great, I had been seeing a therapist either once a week or once every other week, and then down to once a month. And I actually finished my work with that amazing therapist in about January of 2020, because I felt in a really good place and felt like everything was going well, and like I really loved my job. I had really great friends. And yeah, so I made the decision to stop seeing my therapist. And then COVID happened and I started self-isolating before everything got crazy, because I thought that if it does sort of pick up, then I'll just be at home for a few weeks and everything will be fine. And like you, Becca, I thought it would just blow over, but it didn't. And here we are nearly a year later. But yeah, how times have changed and how wrong we were. How about you, Josh?
I think for me, I was quite, I was in a good place actually just before it all started kicking off. You know, the business was going well. We were just starting to pick up coming into the new year. And I hadn't been on holiday for a couple of years either leading up to the pandemic. And I was fortunate enough to get off to the Caribbean on a sailing trip for a week before we went into lockdown. Sounds more glam than what it was. I can reassure you it wasn't, but it was a trip of a lifetime nevertheless, and good fun. And then when I came back, I was doing my shooting. And again, that's something that is pretty good for my mental health in terms of sport and kind of competing and being active. And I was at a camp probably towards the end of March, just before it broke out in the news to say, oh, we've got to go into lockdown. And literally I came home on the Wednesday, and I think later that evening, Bojo made the announcement that either on the Thursday or the Friday, we were going into full lockdown. And that's when everything just kind of turned off like a switch, you know, no plans. There was so much planned for this year. And, you know, we, between the three of us, all of us, we all look forward to what we've got planned in the year. We have stuff that we look forward to that, you know, gives us motivation to keep going and things to get excited about. And then all of a sudden that realization moment of all of that is kind of just been stopped. It's kind of like, well, crap, how do I now motivate myself to, you know, stick this out, particularly when we didn't know how long this thing was going to go on for. So, you know, I think mental health wise, I was in a fairly good, stable place before COVID.
Yeah.
So in terms of what you guys did before COVID, in terms of mental health, to keep yourself occupied. I know I briefly touched on there, like things to have in the calendar to plan on. What particularly worked well for both of you in terms of, you know, having things to do or to keep your sort of mental health in a good place? Emma?
For me, in terms of like what really helps me is work. So I have worked for different disability charities for a few years now. And for me, I'm a little bit of a workaholic and I love what I do. So having that to focus on 5 days a week has been like, has always been really important to me and has always really kept me going and grounded and makes me feel like I'm able to support other people. And I think you focus less on what you've got perhaps going on in your own life because you feel that if I can support this one person, make their situation better, then that's such an amazing feeling. So that's what I've always found really helpful. And like I said earlier, you know, I have seen a therapist before and that has been the best decision that I've ever made. So yeah, that's sort of where my self-help, I guess, if you like, came from. What about you, Becca?
Yeah, I mean, similarly, I mean, I obviously was at university, so I didn't have kind of that 5 day a week structure. But yeah, for me to keep my mind occupied, I really need to have like a clear structure of how my days are going to pan out. So I did find it quite hard going into like lockdown. I came home from university, I think, like a week earlier. So I found it very difficult kind of going from being in classes all the time, like, and having lectures, going to the library with friends and revising, to suddenly having to try and finish my dissertation at home, and do all of that final, like, really important work online. So for me, it was about structure. You know, I wrote myself out like a timetable. I would wake up at a certain time, schedule in little chunks of what I would do in each kind of period, and I would just make sure that I really kind of stuck to it, because if I didn't, I would, yeah, I get bored really easily. I know that doesn't sound important, but when I get bored, I think that really does impact my mental health. So for me, it was all about trying to keep that structure. I found it hard again when I finished university. So I finished, I think, a month later, probably around mid-April, and then I just had all of this free time suddenly, so that was kind of another learning curve for me. I made sure that I applied for lots and lots of jobs, even though it was a very difficult economic climate, so that was quite time consuming. But also I found new hobbies to do, which was really fun. Like I did like diamond painting, so just like different like arts and crafts and things. And I found time to do things I haven't done in like quite a long time. Like I was able to actually read for pleasure as opposed to like just reading for uni and things. So yeah, for me, it was about keeping busy.
Okay, so I think collectively then, between the three of us, from what I'm hearing, is that we were kind of all in a very good place prior to COVID. We were all fairly busy working away, studying, traveling, whatever. And it seemed that actually for us, that whole, you know, structure of knowing kind of what we're doing is really important. And it seems that actually between the three of us, we've kind of in some ways managed to carry some of that structure through. And in some gaps where we haven't got that, we've filled it with other activities. So like Becca there with your, you know, that painting stuff, I think we'll touch on in a minute because I think that's quite cool. And I know one of my, my girlfriend and their kids, they've done a bit of artwork as well to keep themselves occupied. So, you know, it's quite interesting. But in terms of how our mental health's kind of progressed through COVID, let's sort of go back to, I think what's quite interesting is let's talk a little bit about from the summer leading up to Christmas with this whole hope of potentially the vaccine and, you know, not being on lockdown for Christmas. And then all of a sudden, bang, the whole world's on lockdown. We were just about to be able to meet up with our family and have a nice Christmas, and bang, we can't do that. So in terms of the impact that that COVID's had on you, particularly towards the back end of last year, and your mental health around Christmas, how has that been for you guys? Let's go with Emma again.
So for me, I got put on furlough. And for people who aren't familiar with what that is, essentially it's a government scheme where my employer at the time was able to claim from the government 80% of my salary because they had seen a severe loss of income, so they weren't able to continue paying me. But then I also wasn't allowed to work. That was very, very strict. Not allowed to do anything work related because then I could jeopardize that income coming in, not just for me, but for the organization. And I found that incredibly difficult to deal with because my structure got completely taken away. And I have to admit, I wasn't as great at being able to fill my time properly. I didn't really pick up a new hobby. I did get the stereotypical lockdown puppy, so she has kept me pretty busy. Please see my Instagram if you want to see many pictures of her. But yeah, towards the end of the year, I got another job with another disability charity, and that helped me so much, giving me something to do and structure again. Over Christmas, it was really difficult. It was actually the day that Boris Johnson announced that the 5-day window was being taken away. It was the day of the SMA UK family quiz, and I was hosting that quiz, and literally 10 minutes before the quiz that I was hosting, I was sobbing on the phone to my brother because it was going to be the first Christmas that he wasn't coming home. He lives in Bristol. And I was heartbroken because I think for so many people, Christmas is such an important time and you get to be surrounded by family and to have your hopes set on doing that and that sort of be your temporary light at the end of the tunnel and have that taken away with fair reason. I will say it was fair to do it, but it was tough nevertheless. And for me, I suppose the next light at the end of the tunnel is potentially getting the vaccine, whenever that may be. But Boris Johnson did say that my group of people, which I assume is you guys as well, but I don't know for sure, that he's hoping to get us vaccinated by the 15th of February. So right now, that is my light at the end of a tunnel.
Okay.
How about you guys?
So for me, Christmas is a bit different for us. So we had planned to stay in lockdown. We weren't seeing family because for us, like, we just decided it wasn't safe. We knew cases were spiking and we personally didn't feel like it was safe for us to do so. So when it turned September, I have two younger siblings, one at college and one at high school. And we had a lot of talk around what we would do about them going back to education, because that was a massive issue for us. And that was one of the main things that impacted my mental health, because they actually, my brother, my sister and my dad moved into a different house. And me and my mum stayed in our current house. So we were apart for 3 months. Now we managed to be quite creative. We're lucky to have quite a big garden. So we bought one of those big gazebos, a waterproof one, and attached it outside, right next to our French doors. So they would come for dinner every day and they'd sit in the gazebo and we'd sit in the doorway. So we'd have family time together, but that was really, really hard. We're a super close family. And that was, yeah, that was really hard. So the 2 weeks before the Christmas holidays, my sister isolated, came off school. So for Christmas, we were back together. Unfortunately, my brother wasn't, because he couldn't stay off college because he's in the middle of his A-levels. But he's 18, and again, he was able to form a support bubble with his girlfriend and their family. We were able to see him every day. So for us, the fact that we were mostly back together for Christmas, that was way good enough. And yeah, I think a bit different to what you were thinking, Emma. But for us, yes, we love Christmas, but being with family and stuff, for us that can happen any time of year, and we wanted to really try and remain safe and just move Christmas to a few months later, although it's not looking like it's going to be a few months. So yeah, we have been very safe in what we were doing, and yeah, like you, Emma, for me the vaccine is the light at the end of the tunnel. I am confident that if not by the middle of February, by the end of February, hopefully we get the vaccine. They're already well on the way to their goal. And yeah, that for me will be when I start going back into society, and my family will be able to come back home from being at school and stuff, which is good. The lockdown that's happened recently has actually, maybe selfishly, but it's been good for us, because it means my sister and brother can continue working from home, so we get to stay together. So, yeah, I think it's really like a personal experience, isn't it? But it's been definitely a long journey. What about you, Josh?
I mean, it's been crazy. So literally from when Bojo made that announcement back in March last year, when I came back from that camp, I was living at home with my sister, and we had a lodger where I lived, and I'd have sort of 3 or 4 carers coming in, you know, in a day. And Corey worked in a care home, and my sister was still going to work and having friends over and stuff like that. And my family kind of made the decision that it wasn't safe for me to stay there at the time. And literally overnight I'd packed my bags and moved into my nan's. So I moved back to Somerset, and I've been living with my nan since, really because Corey still needed to work and he could not go to work, and he was still coming in from the house and work, and it just exposed me to too much risk. And for me, having 4 carers coming in and out, with them doing other stuff, mixing with family, doing wider care work in the community, I'm thinking, well, this is just opening me up to far too much risk. So I came home and I've been down here with my nan. Unfortunately, it's not like living where I was living before. I've had to have bed baths and go to the toilet on a commode for the last year. So my only time I managed to get a shower was when I went away in September, when kind of I managed to go away for a couple of days and self-contained in a cottage away for a couple of days. But it's been really hard. You know, my nan's 70 odd, and she's been doing all my personal care, all the cooking, for not all the year. What we've managed to do is about towards the middle end, that probably, I can't remember now, it might have been July, August, maybe September time last year, I actually started getting one carer from Bristol to come down and stay for 3 or 4 days at a time, and, you know, give Nan that break and manage all of that. And that worked quite well. It gave me a break, it gave Nan a break. But in terms of, like, you know, mental health, I think at the beginning it was good. I was carrying on with my structure. I didn't, you know, I didn't take a holiday. I was, you know, continuing to work and go out for walks and stuff like that. And I had my shooting, so that preoccupied me. I quite like games as well. So in the evening, if I'm not FaceTiming my girlfriend, then I'm either gaming or working or, you know, playing card games with Nan and stuff. So, you know, there's always been stuff to do. So I've been, in some respects, I've been quite fortunate compared to a lot of other people. But then I've also had to make a lot of sacrifices at the same time, like not having my own, you know, space. I'm out in the utility room with a fridge, freezer and a boiler. And, you know, we've made it work, but it's not pretty. But, you know, it's just what you had to do. You know, health comes first and family wanted me to come back. So, yeah, it was a collective decision. So I think overall, I think down here, we've managed it the best that we possibly could.
It's really difficult, though, because I really hear what you're saying with your housemate who worked in a care home. I've got two NHS frontliners in my house as well. And it's such a difficult decision to weigh up what do you do, because we are at increased risk and they are coming in and out. And I think it must have been a really difficult decision for you and your family to make to do that. Can't have been easy.
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? If you look at it from a, you know, if you look at it from a mental health perspective, you know, being at home in my own environment is probably going to be maybe slightly better because, you know, you've got your independence. But at the same time, you're kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm putting myself at so much risk here that it's always going to be in your mind. If I catch it.
Yeah, I think especially in this kind of pandemic, and personally for me, my physical health has always been a massive issue with my mental health. Like when I had anxiety, what I still do, but when it was really bad several years ago, it was all to do with I was really, really worried I was going to get ill and have to go in hospital and get infections. So, yeah, like you were saying, Josh, for me, making sure that I was as safe as I could be during this pandemic was really something that helped my mental health. I don't think I would have coped, and I don't think my family would have coped either, knowing that I was at great risk. And that was why we made the decision in the end, because we don't think we would have mentally coped with it, even if I hadn't caught the virus. So did you decide to stay?
I'm still here. We're actually in the process of letting the house go soon, because the other guys are going their different directions. And so now I'm here temporarily, well, indefinitely. But my intention is to try and move in with my girlfriend in the near future.
It's definitely kind of...
Yeah, you just can't plan. I mean,
change people's path, isn't it, a lot?
Yeah, hugely. I think it, in some respects, it's delayed my path. But I just want to touch base on that physical health that you mentioned, because, you know, physical and mental health is obviously correlated. And the more physically active we are, the better that's going to be for our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've done, obviously my shooting helps, but try to do some sort of stretching and exercise, you know, whether it's for 30 minutes a day or an hour a day, two, three, four times a week, you're going to find over a sort of 2 month period, that's going to really have a positive impact on your mental health.
Yeah.
So kind of that would probably touch base on one of my top tips at the end is around physical exercise and stuff. And doing whatever you can to keep yourself going. I'm just looking at time, and we need to talk on kind of the current state of our mental health now, and where we're gonna be going in the future. So Let's go to Becca, because Emma, you've started the last two. So let's, Becca, in terms of, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, what your plans might be, just give us an idea of the,
Okay. Yeah, so like I say, the vaccine for me is really the goal. I'm hoping, so I got a job during lockdown and I'm working full time but from home. And even when we weren't in the lockdowns, my employer was very supportive of me working from home until I'm able to go into the office. So I'm really looking forward to being able to actually go and work with my colleagues when obviously lockdown permits and when I've had the vaccine. One of my biggest issues has been carers. Like you said, Josh, it was really difficult for us at the beginning to decide whether to continue having carers. I'm quite lucky in the sense that all my carers are only employed for me, so they're not working with other people. And I decided to kind of let go those that were doing more socially. And I've been lucky to have a few really dedicated carers that are almost shielding with me. Again, with the virus spiking so much at the minute, I was concerned again about whether I should or shouldn't be having carers, but for the minute we're keeping that how it is with them coming in.
Can I just ask on that, Becca, in terms of testing and getting your carers tested, and mm-hmm. have you done that, and if so or if not, what effects that had on your mental health? Has it made you relax more? Are you more anxious?
Yeah, so we literally, I think it was first week of January, my care company now get weekly testing for their carers. For me personally, I do a lot of research and it hasn't been much comfort to me, because I know that realistically those tests are only about 50-60% accurate, maybe less when they're non-symptomatic.
I can confirm that, because my mum works in the NHS and
yeah, so
schools and everything, they're only about 60% reliable.
Yeah, and it was the same over Christmas. You know, people were saying, "Why doesn't your brother just get a test?" And we were saying they're not accurate. Like, anyway, it's another story. So yeah, that hasn't really helped the mental health, but it has been the fact that I trust my carers, and I trust that they're looking after me, and making sure that I'm safe. So yeah, for me, getting back to my life once I have the vaccine is going to be the main thing. And obviously, once I have the vaccine, I'm really hoping that it's going to happen in time that my family don't have to go back to the other house, because when lockdown finishes and school restarts, if I haven't had the vaccine by that time, then they will have to go back to the other house. So fingers crossed. Just really quickly, actually, talking about the vaccine, I think the impact on mental health was when they talked about the fact that they're now changing the second dose to 3 months later. That really worried me, because I wasn't sure how protected I would be and whether that would be enough.
I suppose the way to look at it, right, let's positive mental health and let's have a glass half full than half empty, Becca. And it's a form of something in your arm is better than nothing. And it's going to provide you slightly more immunity to COVID than none at all. So I think for you is don't worry about it so much. Focus on getting that first one. Continue doing what you're doing. Be sensible. And then just wait, you know, you've already done a year. What's another 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, so I did a lot of research around it again, and I won't quote statistics because I'm not a scientist. But from my research, I found that actually the first dose does give the majority of the immunisation. And we've decided that for my family, that's enough, that they will come back and I will return, not to my complete full life, because that won't be possible, but to gradually doing a bit more, which is exciting for me.
Emma?
So for me, currently, I mean, I've had my carers come in this whole time. They do also, almost all of them work for other people as well. So now hearing both of you say that you haven't like had cameras or they only work for you is making me think of guilt. But my team have been amazing, and I know that they're being extremely safe, not just for me, but for themselves. I haven't had them do any tests unless they have a potential risk. And so far, all of those potential instances have been negative, according to the tests, and I haven't had any COVID symptoms at all, touch wood. So everything's been fine. I think for me, same as you, Becca, the vaccine is what is going to be the game changer for me, because it'll mean that once lockdown is done as well, that I'll be able to go out and about a bit more without feeling so scared of being within like even 12 feet of another person. And for me, that's also going to involve seeing my brother, who I haven't seen for a really long time now, who I'm really close with and who I miss so much. And I'm dying. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm dying to get back on a train and commute into London, which is what my normal was doing that 3 days a week. And I miss it so much, even though I tweet about how much it sucked all the time at the time, but I miss it. And going back to that is going to just make a huge difference for my mental health, because that's where I find my purpose. And yeah, that's what makes me happy, is going out and doing things like that. So for me, that's where I'm looking at it. And there is an amazing video that I have seen recently on YouTube. It is an interview with one of the lead immunization doctors in America. It's by the Troy guys, if anyone's interested in looking it up, where they talk about the scientific side, like you were saying, Becca, about like how the first jab gives you the most immunity, and looking at all of those intricacies of the vaccine in a really understandable way. So I definitely recommend people look that up if they want more information. Then also, obviously, I have to say, check the government websites and, you know, official sources on vaccine information. But that's where it's all going to hopefully turn the corner for me. What about you, Josh?
Well, I was just looking at the camera there, and I think I got some grey hairs coming through. So for my health, I've got my eyes set on getting some black dye from men and dyeing my hair as soon as I can.
Get Sharpie.
Yeah, I think all this stress of COVID is, look at them all. There's hundreds of them. It's not good. It's really
not that bad.
Oh, I don't know. I've just changed the filter at the beginning of the call to try and dampen the effect of the grey hairs. So, you know, got to look pretty for the camera. No, I'm joking. The vaccine is definitely that reassuring factor that, you know, you're three quarters of the way there in terms of being protected. But I think more to my concern now is the new variant and how contagious that is, and actually what is going to be the impact of the virus against the new variant. And is there, you know, I want to understand more about this other variant now before I start going out. Because clearly that if that's the one that's going to get us, it's going to be that one rather than the first one. Yeah. And, you know, they're both just as bad. But I think in some respects, if you look at, you know, where we're positioned now, yes, the hospitals are more well equipped if we do get it to help us kind of try and recover. But at the same time, you look at the impact and how many people are in hospitals, and the NHS is struggling. And, you know, in London recently, they were talking about if you come in, you know, we might have to turn you away because there's just not enough. And for me, that's the scary bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, going away from that, I'm not worried about that. You know, I'm staying safe, doing what we can, and reducing our contact. So for me, it's all about where am I going to be at the end of 2021? Where am I going to be in 2025? And looking at the long-term plan rather than focusing on tomorrow, next week. Because I always find if you're thinking about tomorrow or next week or what if that, and if I do that, it's just no good for your mental state. So I've kind of got this idea of my shooting, the business, and, you know, the events that I've got to potentially be doing later on in the year, you know, getting my mind fixed on those to occupy the brain, I find has, you know, kind of worked really, really well. And if I get overwhelmed with work and I'm thinking too much, then I'll just hop off and play some games or go outside or just do something like that. So I think I've got quite a good system, and actually physical health, you know, with my exercise. I hadn't done exercise for about 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, and I'm feeling the effects of not doing it now. So I hope my coach at shooting isn't listening, because I'll end up getting a whack around the head. So I need to lose a bit of weight, you know, get my exercise going again. But you know what? I'm not really worried about it. I've kind of accepted in my head that I'm just going to chill out for two or three weeks and not do anything. And I think that's served me quite well, although it's not a good idea to do that, as you guys know, you know, to not do anything health physically. But yeah, I think, no, I'm good. I'm good. Just got to sort out the gray hair. So we're just coming up to 33 minutes. And I think it would be really good for us to just give a couple of top tips, maybe one top tip each, because we are running out of time. So let's go with Emma. What would be your top tip to everybody in terms of your mental health going forward?
So if you can't get a lockdown puppy, which I highly recommend, but if you can't get a lockdown puppy, it's to text or call your friends every single day, and especially on the days when you don't feel like talking to anyone and when you're having a really tough mental health day. I have been in that position in the past couple of weeks, and so has one of my best friends who is also disabled. And I said, right, even though we don't want to, let's make an effort to just text each other, just, hi, I'm doing okay, once a day. And that's made a huge difference. It makes you feel more connected with other people, and you're not alone in this. You never have been, even though it feels like it so much of the time. But yeah, text your friends is my top tip.
Becca?
Yeah, I was going to say similar, so I would just say keeping busy is really important, and just try and think of creative ways to do it that make you feel like you've achieved something. You know, everyone has days where they just watch Netflix all day and stuff, but I think it's really important for mental health to try and do things that you feel proud of and make you feel better. So even if it's just going for a walk, like up a hill, obviously not a walk, but like a drive up a hill, that fresh air personally makes me feel so much better. Like Emma said, if it's FaceTiming a friend, then that's been productive. And if you can find a new hobby, you know, there's so many like exciting things that you can do from home now. And you might find something that you didn't know you had an interest in.
Okay, and I've got lots of tips, but I think in terms of my top one, I would probably say probably structure. You know, having that routine. I think, you know, before COVID, if I look back on, you know, how I used to sometimes manage my life, I found that if I didn't have structure, it very quickly led to me not doing a lot and staying in bed or wasting my weekends. And that, you know, that's kind of one of the first signs that that can lead to depression or, you know, or increased anxiety and stuff. And so for me, structure is very, very important. So, you know, if you haven't got anything to do, try and think outside the box, go online, look at different ideas of things that you can do at home. Like Becca said, maybe pick up a new hobby. But that structure through the week is fundamental. And within that, I do my physical exercise. I try to drink a lot of fluid, more so now because I'm staying indoors. And also, one final thing is make sure you take vitamin D tablets.
I was just going to say that.
Make sure you start taking them, because especially with the winter now, we're in most of the time. We don't like the cold, do we? We love the heat. So, make sure you do that as well. So there you have it. There's our top tips. That's our conversation today around mental health. before, during, and kind of where our mental health is going after with the vaccine. So thank you very much, Emma and Becca.
Hopefully. Thank you. I just wanted to say just really quickly, like, if anyone like is struggling, like, and they feel like they need to, like, they need some help, like, you can always reach out, like, to, I don't know, Samaritans, or if you want something more local, like, you can email SMAUK or find any of us on, like, Facebook or whatever, and we can try and help you, like, find the right direction and point you to people that can help and stuff, and you're not alone, so just try and remember that.
And if you've got grey hairs, please contact me, because I want to know what to do.
And yeah, get a puppy. It's part of that.
Awesome.
Thank you everyone so much for watching our little mental health session, and there will be more in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.